Hey, we're glad that you're here this morning. We're going to turn to the Word of the Lord this morning, and we're going to be in the Old Testament. You would think maybe we'd be in the New Testament, because as you can see, the title, I worked on this title so long. I prayed. I had already prepared the message, and I looked at it. I was like, Lord, what title? And I can't say that the title is particularly inspired, but the message is. So prayer and fasting for today, we're going to look at two Old Testament examples that will encourage us in prayer and fasting, but we're going to look at how it is for us today. So we want to let you know also we have a Mandarin translation over here in person, right? So if that interferes or bothers, it's no problem. Just kind of move around. That's okay. So Choco Charles, if you need to move, Frank, or if anybody wants to move around, there's no offense, right? Yeah, it's going to be right behind you, Charles. So that's okay. We are so glad. He needs to learn Chinese. This one's going to be Putonghua. So, but we're very, very glad for every single person who's part of Lighthouse, whose mother tongue is something other than English. You are welcome here in the family of God. Amen? Yay. Amen. So today, I want to share with you about prayer and about fasting as we begin this focus week. And I have a few practical things, but I don't want to spend a lot of time on the practical, because I believe the Lord has another message, a main message for us as we look at two Old Testament people who fasted, who prayed and fasted, and how God was working with them, and it can help us this week as well. So we're beginning this focus week. I started a little bit earlier, not because I'm more holy or more spiritual, but because I'm your pastor, and pastors lead, and so I got to be in front of you. So I've started already, and we'll see how the Lord works things out. But I want to encourage each one of you today, as we talk about prayer and about fasting. And I'll be real honest with you. A couple weeks ago, as I was thinking about this week of this focus week, I was dreading it. I thought, oh no, prayer and fasting are not particularly easy, right, for any of us who have done it. But the Lord has encouraged me. So I want to encourage you too. Some of you may love fasting. I don't know. Yay. But I find that prayer and fasting together are some of the disciplines when they're put together, because fasting and prayer have to go together, or else it's just a diet. Nothing spiritual about it if we're not fasting. I find this combination, fasting and prayer together, is one of the disciplines of basic Christian life that many people do not want to include. But we already know that Jesus, when he's talking to his disciples, so no guilt here. We're just looking at, okay, what does Jesus say? What are we encouraged to do? So Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he's giving basic disciplines of Christian living, right? And remember what Jesus says? He says, when you fast. He doesn't say, if you fast. He says, when you fast. And so the expectation of Jesus for you and for me is that fasting and prayer are part of our Christian lives. So what we're going to look at today that I hope will encourage us, especially if this is not part of our Christian life, I pray that we'll be encouraged today as we look at God's Word. So who is fasting for? Sorry, not perfect grammar. Fasting is for those whose hearts are fasting and prayer. I want to keep the two together. Those whose hearts are moved to fast and pray, and those whose hearts are not moved. Don't let your feelings be your boss in this area. Don't let your feelings be your boss this week, because your feelings will tell you this is hard, and aren't you hungry? Yes, it is hard, and yes, you are hungry. So feelings can't be your boss. Prayer and fasting actually kind of take care of our feelings. Fasting and prayer put our feelings in the place they're supposed to be, which is not number one, but somewhere down a little bit further. Fasting and prayer are for those who have plenty of time this week. Fasting and prayer is for those who feel like, I don't even know where I'm going to draw a breath this week. I'm so busy. Fasting and prayer is still for you. Fasting and prayer is for you if you have been preparing for this week. Fasting and prayer is for you if you've been partying up to now. Fasting and prayer is for you. It is for those who want to fast and pray. It is for those who don't. It is for baby believers and very mature saints. If you are in a relationship with God, fasting and prayer is for you. And we have this week, this focus week, to corporately join together. Now, some of you are going to say, no, but Jesus said, do it secretly. That's not what Jesus meant. He was talking about the Pharisees who made a show of fasting to get glory for themselves. There are many examples in the Bible where there are corporate fasts, where people fast together and pray together. And so that's what we're doing. So, excuse me, I'm praying that by the end of fasting and prayer week, focus week, I am not going to be coughing anymore. Amen. Because at this point, it's getting close to 2 months now. Anyhow, so just a few practical things, mostly practical things. Go to the internet and you'll get some good advice about how should you start. You should be drinking a lot of water. Expect to feel hangry. You know that word, right? So if you start feeling hangry, Joshua, you know that word, right? Okay. If you start feeling, Mom does not know that word. You get a little bit angry because you're hungry. So if you start getting hangry, and you probably will, you get away from people and you get with God, okay? If you've got a headache, take an aspirin. You know, take a painkiller. No problem. Drink plenty of water. So there are a lot of practical things. So I want to talk about just a few things as we look at some people in the Bible who fasted. So we're going to talk about a regular fast. And we're going to look at two people who did a regular fast. We have all sorts of ideas about fasting. May I give you the biblical example of fasting that most people can take part in? Biblical fasting generally is water only, okay? Some of you are looking at me like, what? No caffeine? Your fast is not between you and me. Your fast is not between you and anybody else in this church. Your fast is between you and God. I'm just telling you. And so there are some people who will continue to have caffeine during a fast, but they won't eat anything. There are some people who will drink fruit juices during a fast. So, okay, I'm not going to eat anything. And that is a way of doing it as well. But generally, the biblical example of a regular fast is you just drink water. And that's what you do. Length of time, that's between you and the Lord. If you have a really physically demanding job, it's going to be difficult for you to water fast, regular fast, let me put it that way, regular fast for 8 days. Some of you won't be able to because it's too demanding. You may choose to, I'm not going to eat during the day, and then I'll have a light meal at night. I'll just drink water during the day. I'll have a light meal at night. That may be one of the ways of fasting. Or you may say, okay, well, I want to fast maybe for 2 days. I'm going to take a break, then I'll start again. Some of you may say, yeah, but I want to do the Daniel fast. That's in Daniel chapter 10. And that's the expression that we use, but I do want to tell you something. The Daniel fast isn't really a fast. It's a diet, okay? I'm not knocking it. I'm not saying, no, don't do that. But in Daniel 10, when Daniel describes fasting, when he describes what he does, he never uses the word fast at all. So he's still eating. And let me give you an example for that. And that's not to say don't do that. But if you decide, I want to do the Daniel way of doing it, what they usually say is, okay, no meats, no breads, no cheese, things like that, right? Eat veggies, you can eat potatoes, you can eat nuts. Okay, may I be honest with you? I have just described pretty much my daily diet. So when I say, hey, great, week of fasting and prayer, I'm going to Daniel diet, I'm not making much of any sacrifice at all. I'm really not. So as we approach this fasting, but for you it may be a big deal if you're a steak person, right? And also sugars and chocolates and things like that. But what I kind of find is with the Daniel diet or the Daniel fast, it can get really legalistic. Like, well, I can eat this, but I can't eat this. Well, I can eat this, but no, but not this. And I've told you before about a few years ago when I was looking at Daniel fasts and Daniel diets, I laughed out loud in preparation because the headline at the top said, here are diets for your Daniel fast. You'll never even know you're fasting, which defeats the purpose, right? Fasting is a sacrifice and it's a discipline. And as we think about how we're going to pray and fast, may I say something to you? If it doesn't mean much to you, it won't mean much to God either. That's just right. If it doesn't mean much to you, it won't mean much to God. Does that mean you need to be as hard as you can on yourself? It does not. But you talk with God and you look at what you can do and what you can't do. And then go for it. Go for it. If you fail partway through, how many of you ever failed partway through a fast? Okay. Okay, I'm waving my hand. Sure, look around. The whole board. The whole board. All of us have one way or another. I used to, in Beijing, I was part of the International Fellowship, and I was on the worship committee. And we had agreed, we met once a month, and we had a lot of things that we were responsible for. And we had agreed on the evenings that we meet, we will fast the day before, and then we'll meet and take care of the, because it was, by that time it was growing, it was a large group, up to 2,000 people. So that's what we were doing. And one of the sisters on the, her name was Alice, those of you will know Alice Wenzel, was a little bit new to fasting. And I remember one of the first times we met, and the board, the worship committee had met, and we were praying, and she interrupted our praying, and she said, I have to confess something. She was is a lovely woman. And she said, I have to confess, in the night, I was so hungry, I had to eat two crackers. I'm so sorry. And she felt so, so guilty. So what I want to say, and I'm not making fun of failing in a, you know, failing in a fast, but you know what? Sometimes that happens as we're growing in this discipline. So what do you do if it happens? Don't beat yourself up and don't condemn yourself. You just get back up and just say, okay, God, help me to, and just keep on going. Please don't jettison the fast. Well, I've, on Monday evening, right? Jettison. Somebody asked. That means to throw overboard. Please don't throw overboard your fast because Monday evening you broke down and you had some food, okay? Don't let the devil get into your thoughts in that way. Just get back up and just keep on going. Amen? Okay. So that's enough. That's all I want to say about the practical parts. But here are a few things I want us to look at. Fasting, I'm sorry, that's a little bit small. My eyes were better yesterday. Fasting is not a hunger strike, okay? Fasting is not twisting God's arm or manipulating him to make him do what you want, right? Fasting is not showing God how spiritual you are, okay? So it's not these three things. What is it? I can put these up later, or you can take a picture if you want to. Okay? So fasting is not. Fasting is saying no to what my flesh wants, what my appetite wants. It is saying yes to what the Spirit wants and what the Spirit says. Fasting is saying, God, I need you. That's what fasting is. It's other things also, but that gives you, that kind of gives you a framework. And then look at this. Fasting and prayer It's a partnership. And I want you to look at these two words. The fasting part of fasting and prayer will disconnect you from things that are filling your life. It may not be bad. There may be some things that you really just need to let go of. But it's also things that just fill your life. A lot of the social media, YouTube things that we spend that we burn so much of our time on, they're not particularly helpful to us, but it can be very addictive, right? But so fasting might include, hey, I'm going to get off social media for this week as much as possible. But fasting disconnects me from everyday things that fill my time and take my attention. And by disconnecting, it makes room for God. So what it does is it makes room for God, but what are you going to have to do then? Disconnect, that's fasting. Prayer connects you. Does that make sense to look at it that way? That's why fasting and prayer go together. And that's why they must go together to be effective. So fasting disconnects me from these things. Prayer connects me to God, His heart, His purposes, the things that He wants. Does that make sense that way? It fills me with His thoughts and His hearts. Okay, here we go. Enough of that. Let's look at the Word of God. Ready? There are, in the Old Testament, there are several different fasts, several different people who are fasting, and you know them. You know that Moses was one of the ones who fasted. But you know what? I don't want to talk too much about Moses because that was a supernatural fast. It was a 40-day fast without water and without food in the presence of God. And then a few days passed. He went down the mountain. They were worshiping with the golden calf. He gets angry, breaks the tablets, the Ten Commandments. Then he goes back up the mountain, and then he's with God again. And it's 40 more days, no water, no food. Can anybody survive doing that? Absolutely not. So that's a supernatural fast. Only God can do that. Elijah also had a 40-day supernatural fast. The angel said, eat one meal, you're going to need it. And for 40 days, he went in the wilderness on the strength of one meal. So that's supernatural as well. Come to the New Testament, Jesus in the wilderness. Supernatural fast or not supernatural fast? Not supernatural. Because, why? And this is not our focus, but I want you to get it. Jesus did all that he did in his body on this earth as a man, by depending on God and in relationship to God. So when he went out into the wilderness and was fasting for 40 days and praying, because the Bible doesn't tell us otherwise, as far as we know, he was drinking water, but he was not eating. So not a supernatural fast. Nevertheless, God the Spirit strengthened him. What does it say at the end of those 40 days? He came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. Here's the great thing about prayer and fasting, brothers and sisters. As your body gets a little bit weak, as your human nature gets a little bit weaker, you will grow in the power of the Spirit. Amen. And that's what we all need. Praise the Lord. If for that reason alone. So we've got Moses, we've got Elijah, we've got Esther, who did a 3-day fast, an absolute fast. You've heard me talk about this before. Only 3 days, no food, no water. But it was only 3 days. And probably, and that was, it was life or death. It was life or death. And for especially for longer fasts, you really need the direction of the Holy Spirit. If you ever feel, I think I should do an absolute fast, you need to be very clear that God is calling you to this. And it should not be for a long time because you can damage your body. So there are those. But then we're going to look at the area of fasting that generally you and I, as God's people and as God's children, can have a part. We are going to look at Daniel and Ezra, okay? I really want to look at Nehemiah, but I know we don't have time this morning. Maybe another time. Nehemiah is one of the other ones. But we're going to look at Daniel and Ezra because when we look at Daniel and his prayer and fasting, it's the beginning of the promise of God being fulfilled, when we look at Ezra, it is one of the conclusions of the same promise. So we're going to look at these two together, okay? Let's start with Daniel. Ready? So, Daniel, here you go. Fasting and prayer. Oh, edit. For God's plan and timing. Although in China, we used to say for the God, which I kind of like because there's only one God, right? The God. Okay. So, for God's plan and timing. So, we're going to see with Daniel how his prayer and fasting leads him to understanding God's plan and timing. This is really important for you and me as we're at the beginning of this year, okay? So let's look at this together. Where is Daniel when he prays this and when he begins to fast? Daniel is an exile. He is in Babylon. He's one of the wise men. Daniel is quite old. By this time, he'd already been thrown in the lion's den. He'd already had all sorts of visions. This is later in his life. So Daniel is in Babylon, and let's look at it together, okay? So we read in Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, in the first year of his reign of the king Darius, okay? Because there had been various kings that had come and gone, and Daniel was still there. Okay, ready? Here we go. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned, okay, so here's something that he understands, verse 3, ready? So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. Please do not include sackcloth and ashes in your prayer and fasting. Okay, that was an Old Testament expression of mourning, okay, and we don't have to do that this day. Why? Because he has given you the oil of joy for mourning and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, because the Holy Spirit is in you. This is an Old Testament example, but this is a wonderful example for us today. So I want us to see something. I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures. Daniel was a very smart person. Daniel was a very godly man. Daniel was a prophet. Daniel was probably knew the Old Testament scriptures better than almost anyone, whether in Babylon or the few that still remained in Judah. But I want you to see something. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures. So I want to just say something to each one of us as we are in this week of focus, right? And in the coming weeks and months as we go through this year, what I want to encourage you in is this. Here we have our Bibles. We're reading our Bibles. But what I want to say to you is this. As you walk with God, as your heart is sincere and as you are diligent in reading the Word and keeping your heart open to the Holy Spirit, God is going to show you things in His Word that you have never seen before. Things that will speak to you. Things that will concern your life. Things that will concern your situation. And it's been there all along, but you didn't have understanding of it. But as you go to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, who is alive, the Holy Spirit breathes life at His time in your need according to His Word. And so here's Daniel. He had read Jeremiah before. Daniel probably had Jeremiah memorized, the prophet Jeremiah, probably had it memorized, but he says, I understood from scriptures according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet. We've talked about this before. When did God give Jeremiah this prophecy about Cyrus, the king who was going to come and conquer the Babylonian kingdom? 100 years earlier. 100 years before he was born, before there was a Persian Empire, Cyrus was Persian, before there even was a Persian Empire, before there was a man named Cyrus even born, God put in his word, This is the time. This is when it will be. This is who it will be. Even called him by name. God's timing, God's plans. They're perfect, brothers and sisters. And that should encourage you. And you and I kind of feel like, but what? But how? You stick with God. You stay with God. You pray. You fast. You get together with him in his word. And the same thing that happens to Daniel will happen to you as well. The desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. What's the desolation of Jerusalem? The city was burned down. The temple was destroyed. All of the treasures were taken. And most of the people were removed from the city and taken to Babylon. That was the desolation of Jerusalem. And Daniel is one of those. He was taken. He was a prisoner of war as a young man, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Young teens, and he's taken off. And here he is now, an old man. Daniel was probably taken when he was perhaps 12 or 13, or maybe a little bit older, right around that time. And then he reads and he understands. He now sees something about the timing of God. So when Daniel reads this and understands this, he's probably at least 80 years old, okay? And he's still in Babylon. Now, what does it say? He understands something from the Lord. What does he do about it? He understands something about God's timing. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, in sackcloth and ashes. Here is one of, I cannot wrap my head around it. Here is one of the mysteries of how God works with you. He is sovereign God. He has a plan. He knows what he's going to do. He has his timing. And yet, he chooses to partner with you and cooperate with you as you pray, as you fast, as you wait on the Lord. He chooses to bring you into his plan and into his timing. And your prayer and your fasting and your calling on God have something to do with the timing of God. So many Christians don't get that. We just think, oh, well, okay, God's going to do it whenever he wants to do it. Okay. And we sit back. That is not what Daniel does. What does Daniel do? God, I discern. This is your, God, I discern. First of all, I discern your plan. Do you know what God's plan for you is in this season? In this time ahead, do you have some idea? You may not know everything. Maybe you know some things. You should know something. If you don't have an idea about God's plan for you, what God wants for you and from you, how are you living your life? How are you spending your day? How is your energy being used? If you don't know what God has for you, if you don't know what God wants for you, if you don't know what God wants to do through you, we're wasting our time. We're burning one of the most precious things that God has given us, our time and our energy and our attention. And we're just, it's going here and there and it's being wasted. It's being wasted. So here's Daniel. And as he's waiting on the Lord, he begins to discern, God, here is your plan. So brothers and sisters, understanding what God wants to do for you, with you, through you, comes first. Got it? So it comes first. I'm sorry, I know I'm preaching strong at you this morning, but this is for us. So God has something for you. God wants something for you. And don't get worried about, oh, maybe God's going to make me whatever. That's not what God said. Jeremiah 29:11. What is Jeremiah 29:11? We all have it memorized. For I know the plans I have for you. It's good, right? It's good. So you got to get with God. That's one of the things, fasting, prayer, focus week, this week, if you don't have some understanding, if you don't yet have some direction, if you don't yet have some path forward, you don't know what God is doing, brothers and sisters, before you even think about, well, there's timing, this or that, you need to get with God and say, God, what do you want to do? Lord, what are your purposes for me? I doubt God will show you the whole picture. He almost never does. Because if he shows you the whole picture, then you don't need a lot of faith, right? Because he's shown you everything. Okay, got it. Boom, 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 boom. He'll show you part. So God's plan, God's purpose comes first in your life, right? That's what Daniel sees. Oh, God, I now understand you are going to redeem the exiles out of Babylon and you're going to restore Jerusalem. Daniel did not know that before. Daniel didn't understand that before, but now he understood. Oh, here's part of God's plan. In the same way that God had something certain and sure that was revealed to Daniel, God has something certain and sure for you and for your life. In 2026, in this season ahead, don't float rudderless on the ocean. Find out what God has for you. Get in touch with God. Start going with God. So he's got a plan, right? And the fasting and the prayer that Daniel engages in help him to discern the plan. But that's not the only thing. What happens next in the fasting and the prayer, Daniel begins to understand, and he's in cooperation with God. He turns to the Lord, pleads with him, prayer, petition, fasting, sackcloth, and ashes, because now he begins to understand not just the plan of God, but the timing of God, right? The timing of God. Brothers and sisters, I'll be honest with you. Timing is the tough one, right? How many of you are waiting on God? How many of you are disappointed with God? I know you are, because he hasn't done it yet. You've been waiting for him. Well, God, why not? Why not? Why not? You got to get with God. And you may be saying, God, I've been waiting on you. I've been waiting on you. And you may hear during this focus week, you may hear God say, my beloved child, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. But as you give yourself to prayer and fasting and focusing on the Lord, he will, I promise you, he will begin to give you an understanding of his timing for you. I doubt he will give you the exact day when the answer will come. I doubt that. But he will give you some idea of his timing. Or he will say, the time is not yet because I'm working on some things. And I'm working on some things in you. We hate, do we not? We hate delay. We hate waiting. Do you know that in God's hands, when we are submitted to him, delay and waiting are some of the most valuable tools and methods God has to develop us and to grow us. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. You read it later. Don't look at it now. But, you know, it's give, let your, when you go through trials and tribulations and things, count it all joy when you do this, because you know that the testing of your faith, you see, delay and waiting test our faith. Romans chapter 5 and also James chapter 1. Delay and waiting test our faith, and they build character, and they build, if we let God work, the character of Jesus in our lives. Because more than anything else, God wants the character of Jesus in your life. Don't you want the character of Jesus in your life? Don't you want the fruit of Jesus in your life? Yeah. This is one of the things waiting and delay do, is we hold on to him. But you got to hold on to him, because if you don't, you're going to get bitter and angry with God. So you hold on, and he's making you like Jesus. Okay, so we're still with Daniel, right? So his fasting and prayer helped him and will help you discern and begin to understand God's purposes and plans and the timing of those purposes and plans. Amen? So, and that's true. Now, Let's look at how God begins to answer. Ready? We are going to get to Ezra. So Daniel 9, go a few verses later. He prays. Read Daniel 9 for yourself. It's such a wonderful, it's a wonderful, wonderful chapter about a man calling upon God for himself and for others. Anyhow, so verse 20. Here we go, verses 20, 21, and then up to 22 and 23. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill. His holy hill is Jerusalem, right? Because Jerusalem is a city set on a hill. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the angel who has come before, he's had other visions, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. The evening sacrifice is what time? 3 p.m., okay? Do you think this means that Daniel started praying in the morning and 3 p.m. in the afternoon, Gabriel came? Of course not. Of course not. Look at what Daniel does. Read chapter 9. Fasting, praying, seeking the Lord, sackcloth, ashes, all of these things. We don't know how long Daniel prayed. We don't know how long Daniel fasted. But he was praying and fasting until God sent him answer. Right? That's how long. Let's keep going. Now, let's look at what happens next. So God sends Gabriel. Gabriel is not the boss. He's an angel, right? But God sends Gabriel. And here's what Gabriel says. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. There's a whole lot right here. Take a look at it. Meditate on this. Look at this just a minute. Gabriel comes and he says, as soon as you began to pray, the answer came. The answer came. It is not that God's not listening. The Bible is so clear on that. When you begin to pray sincerely, it may be imperfectly, but you're really praying sincerely, right? How many of you know sometimes we really pray imperfectly, right? And sometimes, it's right. And sometimes our prayers are all, you're going to find this week, you may start out in prayer and fasting, and your prayers are like this. And as you go through this week of fasting and prayer and dying, because that's what fasting does to us, you're going to get to the end of this week, and your prayers are going to look and sound different than they did when you started, because God's purifying us. So it's imperfect prayers, but it doesn't mean that God doesn't listen. And Gabriel says to him, and God says to us in his word, when you began praying, I heard you. And I sent an answer. But God's answer has God's timing, right? God's answer has God's timing. So I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters. God always has an answer when we call out to him. But it will also be in his way and in his timing. And Gabriel says, I heard you, and an answer was given, okay? See, prayer and fasting, one of the things it really does is it brings us into harmony and unity with the Holy Spirit. It really does. I've got my own time, right? I want God to whatever. And as I pray and fast, my internal engine begins to get in sync with God and things change. And he says, as soon as you began to pray, the answer was given, which I've come to tell you. Look at this, verse 22, I have come to give you insight and understanding. Okay, look at those two words in just a minute. How many of you have gone through a really hard and a difficult time and you don't know why? All of us. You go through something and you think, God could do this so easily, why doesn't he just do it, right? We've all gone through that. Some of us are going through that now. How many of you have also, as you've waited on God, he, while not yet changing your circumstances, while not yet making everything better, in his grace to you, he has begun to give you insight and understanding to what he's doing. So the answer hasn't come yet, but God's working. I'm doing this. Be patient, my child. I love you. I haven't forgotten you. I'm working on you. And when God gives you and me insight and understanding, we are better able to go through these times of waiting and delay. When what we want to see, we do not yet see. That's what happens with Daniel and with Gabriel. I've come to give you insight and understanding. What Daniel prays for, he does not yet see. He doesn't, because he's praying for the exiles to go back from Babylon to Jerusalem. He's praying for the city to be rebuilt, for the altar and the temples to be rebuilt. But that hasn't happened yet. But God gives insight and understanding. When does that answer begin to come? So he gets insight and understanding. The answer, that the outward answer, there's the inward answer, right? The insight and understanding. There's the outward answer, seeing what God is doing. The outward answer comes within probably 6 to 8 months, okay? If you look at history, I don't want to get into all that. You'd have to read Daniel. You'd have to read Ezra. You'd have to read Nehemiah. You'd need to read Esther. You need to read all of these. Then you can put it together. The answer, the physical answer, comes sometime about 6 to 8 months later. But what I want us to see is this. The answer comes. Now, some of you are a little bit worried because you're reading the last two words, because Gabriel says to Daniel, I've come because you're highly esteemed. And some of you right now are thinking, I don't know if I'm highly esteemed or not. Daniel was, of course, but me? Mm. You know what highly esteemed means? It means precious, valuable. Are you precious to God? Yes or no? Yes, you are. Are you valuable to God? Yes, you are. And so you can put yourself right here. You are highly esteemed. Amen? Amen. Now, we got to get to, oh my goodness, we have to get to Ezra. Sorry. Now we're going to go fast. Oh, faster. We've been going pretty fast. We're not even going to look at Daniel 10. You say, why not? Daniel 10, that's the fast. That's something else. Daniel 9, God prays for Israel, for Jerusalem to be restored. Guess what? Ezra is part of the answer. Ready? So within 6 or 7 months, the exiles begin returning. Now, look at this. Ezra, ready? Fasting and prayer for the hand of God. And we're going to close with this morning. Ready? Ezra 1. Here's the answer. Here's the beginning of the answer to what Daniel prayed. In the first year of King Cyrus of Persia. Wait a minute. Cyrus of Persia? I thought it was the Babylonian Empire. Babylonian Empire is gone because God is God, and he has brought in Cyrus, his servant, to do his work. And he brings in Cyrus, and Cyrus changes everything. Here's the great thing. God can bring in anybody he wants to accomplish his purposes. Cyrus was not a godly man. Cyrus was ungodly. Cyrus was not a God follower or a God worshiper, but he was in God's hands, and God used him. God can use anybody. Anybody. And we read in Ezra 1, in the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, ready? Here we go. Here's what Daniel had prayed for. The Lord, this is 6 to 8 months later, the Lord fulfilled the word he had given through Jeremiah. This is what Daniel had prayed for, right? Got it? Yes? Have I lost anybody along the way? No. Okay, great. Daniel prays, that's Daniel 9. 6 to 8 months, we don't know how long. Bible doesn't tell us exactly. It was around that time. We read in Ezra, God fulfilled the word from Jeremiah. So look at it. He moved the heart of Cyrus. So what does Cyrus say? Cyrus, blah, 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 blah. But what he says in verse 3, here we go. What he says in verse 3 is this. Any of you who are his people may go to Jerusalem in Judah to rebuild this temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives in Jerusalem, and may your God be with you. You see, Cyrus let all the other, not just Jews, but others, go back to their countries. And he let them take all of their temple goods with them as they went back, because he wanted to honor the various gods of the people that had been captured by the Babylonians. And so, look at this. The Lord fulfilled the word he has given. Okay, I know we're right at the end. Stay with me just a few more minutes. I'm going to go really fast. Has God put something in your heart for the time ahead and for the season ahead? I hope you can say yes. Don't you want to see, verse 1, sorry. Don't you want to see in your life the Lord fulfill the word he has given you concerning you? Concerning you. Don't you want to see God fulfill that in your life? I've shared with you before about some of the things that God has put in my heart for the church. And I was praying and praying, and then I just got really discouraged and I kind of stopped praying about it because I didn't see anything happen. I want to see God fulfill what he has put in my heart for us as a church. And as I pray and as I fast, as you pray and as you fast, God will fulfill his word concerning you, concerning you. He moved the heart of Cyrus. So there's the, he fulfilled the word he had given. He moved the heart of Cyrus. Any of you who are his people, you may go. Okay, so they begin to return, and then we go forward. Okay, Ezra 7. I'm really going fast. Ezra 7, Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in August of that year. He'd arranged to leave Babylon April 4th. He arrived August 4th. The trip took 4 months. This looks really easy, right? Not easy. Here's part of the fulfillment. God answered. He fulfilled his promise first through Daniel, then through Ezra, and then through Nehemiah. We know Nehemiah really well through these three. So Ezra's the middle one. So Ezra goes back. It takes him 4 months, for the gracious hand of his God was on him. If you read Ezra, you're going to see this several times. And here is one of the prayers that we have this week. We pray, we ask for the hand of our God to be on us. The hand of our God, the hand of God means literally power, strength, direction. These are wrapped up in the meaning of this special phrase, this special word, direction, and the means, the ability to do what God has put in your heart to do. The gracious hand of his God was upon him. When the hand of God is upon you, he will fulfill what he has for your life. When the hand of God is upon you, you will not falter and fail along the way because his hand strengthens you. When the hand of your God is upon you, he will give you direction for your life. You will not be led astray. When the hand of your God is upon you, you will have strength for what he has for you to do. That's what we see with Ezra. The trip was 1,450 kilometers. Took 4 months. There were bandits. There were all sorts of dangers along the way. How is Ezra going to get from Babylon to Jerusalem? He doesn't have an armed escort. He doesn't have an armed guard. Okay, here we get to the final. This is how Ezra did it. He's just outside of Babylon. Look at what he says. There by the Ahava Canal. Don't worry, it's just outside of Babylon. That's all you need to know. I called, because they're all going to go back, for all of us to fast and humble ourselves before our God. We prayed that he would give us a safe journey and protect us, our children, and our possessions as we traveled. Do you know why that was so important? Because they were taking great treasure from Babylon back to Jerusalem. Not only that, an even greater treasure. Their families and their children were with them. What they were carrying from the articles of the temple, the silver and the gold, by today's measure, would be hundreds of millions of Hong Kong dollars. Okay? And they had no armed guard. Okay. Ezra prays, we have these things. Here we are. We've got to get from here to there. 1,400 kilometers. What we have is precious. We do not have an armed guard. How are we going to get from here to there? Oh, there's so much here. We prayed for a safe journey and protection. and our possessions as we traveled. He didn't want to ask the king for an escort because he had said, our God's hand of protection is upon us. He's proclaiming God. And so what did they do? Verse 23, here we go. So we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us. And he heard our prayer. Here's an analogy for us as we close. Here you are right now. God has given you or is giving you a goal, a direction, somewhere he wants you to get to some point in your future. How are you going to get from here to there? You hold within your life precious things, valuable things, things that if the enemy can take and steal, he will. Your peace, your joy in the Lord, your confidence in him, the talents and the gifts that you have, the time that you have. These are precious things. They're valuable things. Your family, your friends, your relationship, they're precious. They're valuable. How can you replace them if they're stolen, if they're gone? And the enemy will target you in this season and in this year to keep you. First of all, he's going to try to keep you from getting back to Jerusalem. That's what he's going to try to do, right? But if he can't keep you from getting back to Jerusalem, he's going to try to steal things from you along the way and destroy things in your life along the way so that when you get to the place that God has for you, you might look back and you say, oh God, but I've lost so much. So much is gone. So much is broken. So much is destroyed. As you pray and fast and ask for the hand of your God upon you, he will keep you. He will not only get you from where you are now to the point that he has for you, all that you have, all that you are, these valuable things, your hopes and dreams in the Lord for the future, the relationships that God has for you, the gifts and the talents and the calling, your time, your worship, your relationship with God, all of these things that the enemy would target if he could because they're valuable. They're more valuable than the hundreds of millions of dollars of silver and gold that they were carrying from Babylon to Jerusalem. But because you have prayed and fasted and waited on the Lord and asked for his hand upon you, he will hear your prayer. He will hear your prayer. And they arrived safely in Jerusalem, as will you. As will you. Don't be afraid of the year ahead. Don't be afraid of bandits and ambushes. Because you know what? There are things that happen that we are not prepared for. But if you have called upon God, that his hand of protection and strength is upon you, he will get you from here to there without loss. Amen? Without loss. They arrived safely. Here we go. Close. I'll be shorter next week. Everything, I love verse 34. Everything was accounted for. Not a penny was missing. Not an earring was missing. Not anything was missing. Why? Because they had called upon God in prayer and fasting, and his hand was upon them. Amen? Brothers and sisters, thank you so much. I know I went longer. Here are reasons, good reasons, for us to pray and fast this week. Amen? Yes, indeed. Let me pray for you. And then if you're not yet fasting and you're going to eat lunch, go in the grace of God and eat lunch. But come back at 2:30 because we're going to meet together here on the second floor. We're just going to pray together. Let me pray for you as we close. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that we have the example of our brothers in the faith, Daniel and Ezra, who prayed and fasted, God, just as we are going to pray and fast, for an understanding of your timing, of your plans, and the timing of those plans, and for your hand upon us, that you will get us from where we are to where you have for us to go with every valuable thing that you have deposited in our life and in our sphere of influence. It will be safe from the enemy's attacks and snares. And we will not suffer loss this year, but we will arrive where you have us to go and to be. And we will rejoice in you, for your hand, gracious hand of protection, has been upon us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you.